And we're holding on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph at the top. We had in the Mishnah Ha'omer L'Chaveiro, we had a case where one person says to the other that a koinam, that I won't go into your house or I won't buy your field. So we said, because he said your house or your field, therefore if he sells it to somebody else, or if the owner of it died or he sold it to somebody else, or the Ran added also if he gave it as a present to somebody else, then in fact it would be mutter for the Mudr Hana to go and have Hana from that house or field because it's not his anymore. On the other hand, if he had said Bais Zeh, if he had said this house, then even if he sells it, or even if he dies, or changes hands, or whatever, it would still be also because the issue is on the house itself. And we discussed yesterday what the Ran says about it, that what would happen if the house fell down and it was rebuilt, where if we said Bais Cha, it's still his house, where if he says Bais Zeh, then it's not the same house anymore. So the Gemara says, Boy Avimi. So Avimi had the following question. What about the other way around? What about, so in the Mishnah we were talking about where the person, where Reuven says on himself, a koinam that I will not go into this house. What about now if Shimon says to Reuven, a koinam that you won't go into this house? So now, what would happen now if Shimon dies or he sells it to somebody else? Would we say, so it's one thing in the Mishnah when he himself asks on it, fine, he can ask the house to himself. Whether it still belongs to Shimon or whether it belongs to somebody else, either way, he's capable of making the house also to himself. But when it comes to Shimon initiating the neder, if now Shimon goes and sells the house to Levi, maybe he doesn't have the ability. Maybe he only has the ability to make it also as long as it's in his own possession, but not if he sells it or gives it or whatever to somebody else. The same way, for example, we wouldn't say that Shimon would have the ability to say to Reuven, Levi's nechosim are also to you, because Shimon is neither the owner of the nechosim nor the one on whom the issue is being imposed. Maybe by the same token, fine, Shimon is able to aser the house as long as it belongs to him, but not when it doesn't belong to him anymore. So that's Avimi's question. In fact, the Ran goes on to say that the same question would also be he says koinam l'baisa at nichnas, regardless, whatever lashon he used, certainly if he said Beis C, then of course it's only in effect when he himself owns it. But the question would be, when he says Beis Z. Omar Rava. So the question is, Adam Oisa Davar Shebir Shusa L'Chiyetz Mir Shusa Oloi. Can we say that a person asers something that is in his rishus, and that thing remains also even when it goes out of his rishus, oiloi, or maybe not? Maybe we would say if Reuven himself made the neder, then yeah, it can be in effect even when it's not in Shimon's possession anymore, as long as he said bias zeh. But maybe Shimon to aser it to Reuven does not have the ability to do that. So that's the Ran says that actually even if you were to explicitly say in the Mishnah Shimon is just saying in Avimi's question in the Gemara Shimon is just saying you're also to go into this house. What about if Shimon specifies and says explicitly that you are also to go into this house even after it goes on to my out of my rishus? Would that be effective as well? Even if he says that, but if he just says generic, whatever lashon he uses, as long as it's Shimon initiating the neder, does he have the ability to do that? That the isser should continue to exist even after Shimon sells the house. Omar Rava Toshma. We actually had this before on Membeis and Membeis. We brought it Derech Agav in the course. In the previous perek, we brought it in the course of a discussion about uh, um, about when a similar case, when a person says nechosai alecha, when he says my nechosim are also to you, nechosim elu alecha, we talk about it in connection with Shemitah, and we're in Shemitah also. It's not in his Rishus during the year of Shemitah, so we brought this in that connection as well, and we brought the same proof over there as well. Amar Rava Toshma, if a person says to his son a koinam that you won't have hana from me, umes, and then the father dies, yirashen, then the son can still inherit from the father because he says you won't have hana from me. Well, once the father dies, he's not having hana from him anymore. Therefore, it's mutter. On the other hand, if the father says you won't have hana from me while I'm alive, even after I die, and then he dies, then the son still wouldn't be able to yarshin the father. So we see from that a person is able to ask for something that was in his rishus, and that iser still survives even after it's not in his rishus anymore. Shmamina, so that proves it. Now, in that previous Gemara on Mem Beis, when we brought up that point, Rava said over there that maybe the difference is because he specifically says b'chayev or b'moisay, maybe that's different. So if he says these nechasim without specifying b'chayev or b'moisay, then we can still say the question would still be, are they also only when they're in his rishus or not? On Mem Beis, we had Rava make that point. However, here the Gemara is not bringing that point. And the Ran says the fact is that was a bit of a doicha. That was only what the Gemara, what we call in Gemara terminology a dechia. It was a way to say that to push off to say that we don't have a solid proof from that one way or the other. But not necessarily to say that specifically there would be a difference whether he says b'chayev or moisei or not. So therefore the Ran says we stick with what we say over here, which is that yes, a person is able to ask for something that was in his rishus and it remains also even after it goes out of his rishus. Whether he said b'chayev or moisei, whether he said b'chayev. So in the case of the Yerusha, only when he says b'chayev or moisei. The point is, given that, then in the case of our Mishnah, since he says this house should be also to you, then we would still say that would be in effect even after he sells it. So the same din that would apply in the case of our Mishnah, when Reuven initiated the neder, and we would say the house remains also to him even after Shimon sells it. The same exact thing would be if Shimon initiates the neder, same thing. It'll remain also even after Shimon sells it. We're not going to say that's considered like Shimon assuring something that belongs to Levi on Reuven, because at the time when he made it also, it did belong to him. The Ran also makes a point over here. When we say in the case when the son says Koinam Shiyat Nenali, B'chayev Ramosa, and we're saying he's not able to yarshin him, the Ran discusses doesn't actually when we say he can't actually yarshin them, it doesn't mean that he has nothing to do with it. What it actually means is, for example, if there were people that he owed money to, they can still collect from it. So the nechosim do belong to him. He's just not allowed to have hanah from them. I mean, I didn't mention that point that otherwise he'd be over against Torah. Maybe because after all, I mean, the father does have the right while he's alive to distribute his nechasim and override the dinim of Yerusha. Only when he dies, if nothing was done before he dies, then you have the dinim of Yerusha in the Torah. But here, when the father says, you're not going to have hana from me, b'chayev u'moisei, then that would be the equivalent of a matnas shechiv merah or something. So whatever the case, the point is, though, the son does in fact have he's not allowed to have enough from it. But for example, there's a Gemara in Bava Kamma that says that that says, for example, he can give it away to his he can give it away to his own sons, for example. So let's say, in other words, so Yaakov has made a neder that that Reuven, his son, won't have hana from him. So Reuven himself, when he yaushens the property, so he can't yaushen it himself because of the neder. However, he could give it to his son Chanoch, and Chanoch could yaushen it on his behalf.
He's not having hana.
That's not directly having hana. That's yeah. Or, for example, if Reuven owes somebody money, then that somebody else can come and take it. So all it is, in other words, that so he himself is not able to have enough from it. In fact, the Ran says, really, what it would be, wouldn't be directly give it to them. We would have similar to the way we had a few Mishnayos ago in the previous parak. We had the case where we had the case where Reuven is also to have anah from Shimon. So we said, let's say Shimon can go to a storekeeper and he can tell them any yadea. He says, Reuven is also anah from me. I don't know what I'm going to do. And the storekeeper gets the hint and goes and supplies Reuven with food, and then he can get reimbursed from Shimon. In the same way over here, Reuven can say to his son or to his Baal Choyv, let's say, for example, this property my father made also to me. I don't know what I can do with it. You might as well take it for yourselves. And then when they take it, then that's not considered that they're taking it directly from him.
So the son or the stranger
would be the same thing. The Rambam phrases it that he would have to inform them, these are nechosim of my father, which I am also to have enough from me, and therefore, but they're not also to you. So go ahead. It would be similar to now the in Bava Kamma, which is the context where the Gemara discusses this point. In Bava Kamma, is you have, for example, a person stole from his father, and then his father died. So how does he return it? So he himself shouldn't keep it. We shouldn't say that because he stole it, he gets to keep it. But again, he's allowed to give it away to his Baal Chayvus, but he has to inform them. What we're talking about actually is not that he himself stole it, but rather that his father, let's say, stole it. And now, so now instead of him having enough from it, he can give it away to Baal Chayvus or whatever. And again, the same thing he tells them, Zeg Gezel Abba, this is something that my father stole, and now this is how I want to deal with it. I can't do anything else with it except this. So the Rambam would say that the same thing is true over here.
What happens if after he has made his neder, he arranges to have this property transferred to a third party who will eventually transfer it back to him?
Well, I mean, if that other person is acting as the father's shliach, the pashtus, you would have the same problem. Shlucho shalotim kamosai. If you're talking about
without
being the father's shliach. Well, so what did I mean? The father had said koinam shi'at anen. So if he gives it to somebody else, he's not having hana from the father anymore.
He's allowed to take it back.
So would the father be able to take it back?
No, like she said, the third party.
Yeah,
no.
So if the third party now be able to give it to the son? Maybe, yeah, because in that case, then fine. I mean, that's in that case, then he's not there. So the whole point is, it's not that the nechosim are also on the son is also to have hana from the father. That's why we said so only because the father said, b'chayev of Moisai, only because he said, she'iyat nenali b'chayev of Moisai. So, therefore, so if he's having hana from him in any way, even after he dies, then he still can't inherit him. But if the father gave it to somebody else, Pashtus is not the father's anymore, so then he's not having hana from him. To the extent that it would be hana, it would be an indirect hana, so therefore maybe it would be mutter. It might be similar to the case we had previously of declaring the food hefker and then the other guy taking it.
I don't know if it makes it better, but if the third party goes and sells it, then gives it the money.
Yeah, that could also be.
He's having enough for the money, but not from the field.
Could be, yeah. Okay. Good. The Gemara says, Tanan Hossam. Now, let's have another discussion in this connection. When we say, so we said in our Mishnah, you have the case where a person says, this house or this field is also to you, and we say it remains also even after the house or the field is sold. So now let's look at a similar case. So what did we just say? We said that also, we said that a person is able to assert to somebody else the object even when it's not in his reshus anymore. So we said, for example, that not only when Reuven himself makes the neder, but even when Shimon makes the neder, you, Reuven, are also to have hana from this house, then that remains in effect even when the house is sold. So now, let's talk about in a similar vein. Tanan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah later on in our Masechta, koinam peiros ha'elu alai, if a person says a neder, these fruit are koinam to me, or koinam heim api, or he says a loshen, they are koinam to my mouth, or koinam heim lifi, or they're koinam also to my mouth, alpi or lifi, all of these are loshonis that he's saying that the fruit is also to him as a koinam, where we've been saying all this time a koinam is a loshen of a neder, so therefore the fruit becomes also to him with a neder. So now the Mishnah says, also b'chilufeihen u'gidulehen. Not only is he also to eat the fruit themselves, but he's not allowed to eat the exchange of them, meaning, in other words, if he goes and trades those fruit for others, over gidulehen, or if those fruit were planted, if the seeds of those fruit or grains or whatever were planted and new ones grew from them, he would be also to eat those as well. Because the idea is, having made them koinam, they become like hektish. And with hektish, we would have and hektish, such things would be osur. So, in fact, the Ram says the question wouldn't even be that statement, and the question that Rami Bar Choma is going to be asking on that is not even really only as far as it's not even really only as far as Nedarim. The question would be as far as other Isurei Hana'ah as well. Now we have like this: there are certain Isurei Hana'ah where we know that even if a person sells them, the money of them remains just as also as the original thing. One example is Avodah Zarah. A person takes an object of Avodah Zarah and sells it, the money remains also as well. Another example is Shemitah. You have a din that if you have fruit of Shemitah and you go and trade it to somebody else for some other food, the original fruit retains its Kedusha, and the new fruit or object or whatever that you traded it for also, the new food or whatever also has Kedusha Shvius, and only when you trade that one, so you have all the Gemara in Sukkah describes a whole chain over there. You start off with fruit of Shemitah, and you trade it to somebody else, or you trade it, let's say, for example, for fish. So the fish also have Kedusha Shvius. If now you trade the fish for wine, so now the fish loses Kedusha Shvius. Now you have no restrictions on eating it, but the wine now has Kedusha Shvius. It's always the original one and the last one in the chain. So the original one retains its Kedusha, and the last one in the chain also has and you have all the rules about how you can eat it and what you have to do with it after Shemitah. You have the rules that you can't use it for non-food purposes. You have the rules that, for example, that you can't sell it in large quantities. You can't export it from Eretz Yisrael, all the various dinim that apply to Shemitah fruit. Okay, you have the point of beer. You have a point when there's no more of that of the original kind of produce available in the fields for the animals to eat, and then you have to take out mimafkir or whatever you have left. Yeah. So there's no question, in other words, says the Ran, that when you have something which is also bahana, for sure you're not allowed to trade it. Other examples, for example, let's say for example, chometz for Pesach, you're not allowed to have hana from it. If you sell it, you're certainly not allowed to trade it. And on the other hand, though, if the dievet you did, then only Avodah Zarah and Shvius would have that rule that Tofus is Dhamma. The Gemara, in fact, elsewhere points out that you have what's called Shnei Ksuv Maboyim Ke'echad. You have two psukim. You have a posik by Avodah Zarah and a posik by Shemitah that implies that this din applies. And since we have separately by each one, rather than learning one from the other by a binyan av, that means that it applies only to those two and not any others. It's called Shnei Ksuv Maboyim Ke'echad and Melambim. Meaning we say, in other words, if we had, let's say, if it said only by Avodah Zarah, then we could generalize from it to other dinim. If it said only by Shemitah, we could generalize from it to other dinim. But since it says by the two of them, then therefore we understand it means it's meant to be exclusive to the two of them.
Two of those psukim.
Those two, Avodah Zarah and Shvius. That only in those cases that we say Tofus as Domav. Meaning, in other words, let's say, for example, Chometz for Pesach. It's also Bahana. You're certainly not allowed to sell it to somebody. But if the dievet you did, the money is not also.
No.
On the other hand, with Shvius, we're saying even b'dievet, you sold fruit of Shvius, then the money is also in the sense that it has Kedusha Shvius. You sell Avodah Zarah, same thing, but only those two.
Same land in other places, only those.
Only means we learn only to those two places, no place else, right? So there's no question, says the Ran, that l'chila you'd be also to. So let's start with. We haven't even gotten to the question yet. So first, by way of introduction, we're saying that if a person says these food are also to me, then he's also in chilufeihen gedulei. So now, boy, Rami Bachama. So now, Rami Bachama asks the question, what if Shimon says, Koinam, that these Peres will be also to Reuven? Mahu. So what would be the din? Would Reuven be also in Chilufehen and Gidulehen? In fact, the Rosh said that actually the question isn't even really on Chilufehen. There's no question that Reuven is not going to be allowed to trade that fruit. The question is really more on Gidulehen. If you plant that fruit, if you plant a seed from that fruit, will it still be also to Reuven as well?
When you replant something, it becomes spoiled, becomes nothing.
So that's the thing. So you have it rots away in the ground. Exactly. So mia min and gabi delay. So do we say, since when the person himself makes the neder, hayov adam osa peres chaver al atzmai, we know that Reuven is able to make Shimon's peres also to him, and adam osa davar shalei bola olam al atzmai, and he's able to ask even something that doesn't exist yet on himself. When he says Shimon's peres will be also to me, it includes not, that's what we're saying, that's what the Mishnah later on in the Sechta is saying. He's also not only in the peres themselves, but even in the future growths of them, even though those don't exist yet. Nevertheless, we still say he has the ability to ask them on himself. Well, Gabo Chaveiro. On the other hand, we can say when Shimon initiates the neder, since obviously Shimon cannot ask Levi's peres to Reuven, he can only ask his own peres to Reuven. Maybe by the same token, maybe he doesn't have the ability to ask something that doesn't exist yet on Reuven as well. In other words, let's consider. If Shimon were to say that Levi is also in that, if Shimon were to say that Reuven is also in Levi's Paris, so obviously there are two things preventing that from taking place. One is that the Paris are not his, and the other one is that Levi isn't that. And the other one, so one is that the Paris are not his, they belong to Levi, and the other one is that Reuven is not his to impose an Issur on. That's the thing. So if Reuven says your peiros will be also to me, Reuven is in his own rishus. So even though the peiros are not, but he's in his own rishus and he's able to impose a neder on himself. If Shimon says my peiros are also to you, so then the peiros are in his rishus. But if he says Levi's peiros are also to you, neither the peiros nor the you are in his rishus. Therefore it doesn't work. Well, by the same token, if Shimon says, my peiros are also to you, fine, he has the ability to ask for his own peiros because they're in his rishus, but the future peiros are not in his rishus because they don't exist yet. So he maybe wouldn't have the ability to ask for them on Reuven. Oy Dilma, or maybe we would say, Mishum Dechilufin Gidulin Dami, maybe we would say that the reason why, the reason why Chilufin and Gidulin are also is because we would make a gzeira d'rabbanon and say that chilufin are also just like gidulin. We would say gidulin should be also. Gedulin, we can say, should be also. Now, later on, when we discuss that Mishnah, we're going to distinguish between different kinds of Gedulin. There are the kinds where the seed rots away, and then there's the kind where the original thing still exists, and then it just gets larger. You plant onions, for example, as an example later on over there. The original onion doesn't rot away in the ground. It just becomes bigger and bigger. So with Gedulin, it's also. So we can say Chilufin maybe are also as well. And therefore, in other words, when we say to begin with that when the person says this fruit is also to me, we're saying Chilufin and Gedulin are also, maybe fundamentally Chilufin ought to be allowed, but the Chachamim disallow it because they would say it's similar to Gedulin. In fact, the Rosh says effectively that there's no question the Gedulin are going to be Osir. The question is really only about the the Rosh points out the Gedulim come directly from the goof of the Isser, as opposed to the Chilufim don't. When you grow something, fine. Even let's say the seed rots away in the ground. The fact is, it is coming from the goof of the Isser. You planted the goof of an Isser in the ground, and now eventually a plant developed from it. So therefore, you have more reason to ask for Gedulim than you would Chilufim, and maybe we'd say, therefore, the Chilufim, if you traded it for something else, maybe that should be also Dirabbanan, because it would be like the Gedulim. And therefore, maybe we would say the same rules apply. Um, So that's the question. So again, the Ran goes into some detail over here. The question is not whether you're allowed to trade them. There's no question you're not. The question is not b'dieved. The question is not b'dieved whether the whether they're also. We know that only by shvius and by avodah zara does that apply. So the question is basically when the neder, when Shimon made the neder, you Reuven are also to have ana in these fruit. Did he mean to also include gidulin and chilufim in it or not? What does he himself have in mind? If we say that we look at his kavana, then we could say maybe a person has the ability to aser himself in chilufin and gedulin, but not necessarily to aser somebody else. Or maybe it's not a matter of his das. We would always say that chilufin are aser midrabanon, even to himself. So therefore, there'd be no difference whether him or somebody else. Yeah.
So the Rosh explains that
chilufim are a bigger chiddush because gedulim, since they grow from the body of the iser, then there's less of a chiddush that those should be also. But chilufim, you're taking this and you're trading it for something else, you're selling it and then getting money for it, or you're trading it for another object or whatever. That doesn't come from the goof of the iser. Maybe there should be more reason to be maple on it. So
because you plant something, not as a guarantee it's going to grow, and that's nothing. So, and it's also not showing these are more, it seems like more bigger.
Things. It's true. On the other hand, it's true. First of all, it doesn't necessarily rot away in the ground. Again, the Gemara is going to later on going to distinguish between different kinds of plants. But besides that, also, even if it does, the fact is, if you don't get a new plant, then you don't get a new plant. There's nothing to talk about then. But if you do, the fact is that plant came from the seed of the thing that was ulcered. So it came from the actual goof of the iser, as opposed to this that you have a side thing that came.
And you can't say that it should be us because the other ones, because the other two things we learned ultimately wouldn't.
Right, so the only if you can't say it should be also like up at his auto or like Shemitah, because Shnei Ksuma Boim Kechad applies only to those. The fact that it's Tofes Dama applies only to those two things, right? The Ran does mention also that actually the Gemara could have asked also the question also not just if Shimon puts the neder on Reuven, but also if Reuven himself makes the neder on himself. But he doesn't say Elu. If he just says Peiros are also on me, then if he traded them, would the same din apply? The reason why we're asking specifically in this case is because since our Mishnah used the expression bias zeh, so now he wants to ask on a similar case where a person says Peiros Elu.
How long does Peiros Elu last?
That's the question, right? Right. So the Gemara says, "Omer of Achabam and Yumi Toshma." Let's bring a proof from a Braisa, which deals with a case similar to what we had in. We had cases to this similar cases to this in Ksubas. Ha'omer le'ishtei koinam shani nenelach. Suppose that a husband says to his wife, a koinam that I, now we have here in the Gemara, we have the word nehane, which means that he's saying a koinam that I won't have hana from you. But really, actually, it's supposed to be mehanaloch. Really, it's actually supposed to be, or at least this is how the Ran's Gersa is, that he makes the neder, a koinam that you won't have hana, that I won't give you hana. Now, to be sure, we've learned in Ksubas that the husband has a shibud to his wife to give her hana. Therefore, the neder was made. We talked about this in Ksubas that he makes the neder that the hana of tashmish with you will be aser if you have hana from me, where he has the ability to aser the hana on himself, even though he doesn't have the right. He doesn't have the right to say, for example, a neder that I won't have tashmish with you because he has a shibud for it. Right. But he has the ability to say the hana of tashmish with you will be aser to me, where then you can't force a person to have a hana that is also to him. And then so he says that will be the case if I give you and you accept hana in other areas.
Well, so he can consider, so he's able, he doesn't have the hana. But he can't sue. She doesn't have none. She has
right.
To have
so that's a, but he can
he
make.
Have none. It's a guess.
But one second, he is able to make a neder that, in effect, she won't be able to have hana from him because the result of that will be that the result of that will be that hana with tashmish with her will be also to him. So in other words, it's not that her having hana from him is directly usur, but it is a condition that will result in a neder taking effect that he will be usur to have hana of tashmish from her. Such a thing works. it's a workaround, but it works because
which means that in practice it means
that she won't be able to have hana from her, that she won't be able to have hana from him.
Okay.
So. The Braisa says, Loive ubale choven boin benifroin. So now what happened? Loive law, rather. She herself now can. So she can't have anah from her husband because that'll trigger the neder. Therefore, in other words, so she's not able to get money from her husband to support herself. What does she do? Loiva, she goes and borrows from other people to get money for food. Ubale choven boin benifroin. Mm-hmm. And the people that she borrowed from are able to come and demand payment from the husband.
From him.
From the husband. Very good. Because, in other words, the nechassim of the husband are also to her. However, the shibud still exists on his nechassim. Okay. So now, one second. We learned previously in our Masechta, the beginning of the previous perek, that you had the case where a person is, where a person is mudr hana, and we said that somebody else is able to support his wife and children. And we talked about over there the opinion of Chanan and the opinion of the B'nai Kohenim Dolem that we had at the end of Ksubas about when somebody voluntarily supports a wife while her husband is out of town or something, is he afterwards entitled to reimbursement? Where Chanan said no, and the B'nai Kohenim Dolem said yes. But the difference is, The difference is that there he directly gave her food and it was voluntary, but he or she borrowed money. So obviously then she by borrowing, so the case over there, in other words, her husband is out of town. She's saying, I don't have any food available. So somebody voluntarily goes and gives her food. They didn't actually arrange a loan or anything. So now the question is, is the husband responsible to pay back? But here, when the wife borrowed money, she's taking on a debt. So now you have the Ran says this would be an example of Shibudah de Rav Nosson. We learned in Ksubas, and you have it in various places in Shas, that if Reuven owes Shimon money and Shimon owes Levi money, we don't make it go through Shimon. We take away directly from Reuven and give to Levi. Reuven does not have the ability to say to Levi, I never did business with you. There's no reason I should have to pay you. I'll pay Shimon, whom I own money. We don't say that. We take directly from Reuven and give to Levi. So now this would be an example of that because she borrowed money, but her husband is the one who's responsible ordinarily to support her, then therefore what happens is that we will actually take the money from the husband and give it directly to the Baal Choy without going through her at all. So now getting back to the Gemara, my time of Baal Choy and Nifroyin, now why are we saying that the Baal Choy have the ability to get paid back? Now this is an example of chilufin because the husband is saying that my nechosim are also to you to have hana. Yet we're saying when she borrowed money, that is chilufin. In other words, because as soon as she borrows money, then her husband's nechosim come under a shibud to pay back that loan. And so that would show lav mishum de chilufin lav kigedulin dami. So wouldn't that show therefore that chilufin are not like gedulin?
What's good, gedulin?
Gedulin means things that grow. Mm-hmm. So we said before, if you have fruit that is also to you by a neder and you plant it, then even what grows from that produce is also usur, even though you could argue it was a davar shelo b'olam, because as the Rosh said, it came directly from the body of something which was usur. So on the other hand, the whole discussion over here we're having in the Gemara is about chilufin, is when you trade something that's usur for something else. So now, in effect, we have an example of a trade over here. She's also in her husband's nechassim, but she is trading that in effect by taking out a loan and putting a responsibility that her husband has to pay back that loan. And we're saying that's mutter. So therefore, that would show that chilufin are not kigidulin. Otherwise, we would say that the husband's nechassim would remain also to her, and the husband wouldn't be able to pay. And so not the husband wouldn't be able to pay back the loan, but she wouldn't be able to have hana from the money that she borrowed in order to get food, because that money would be chilufin of her husband's nechasim. So Omar Rabba. So Rabba says that's not a proof. Maybe it means that lachatchila you're not allowed to, and if you did, then the chilufim are also. The e ovad ovad. But if it was done, meaning if it only became chalifin b'diyevin, you didn't directly do a chalifin. You didn't directly do a chalifin. She didn't directly go and trade her husband's money for this other thing. So when you do it be a dayim, in other words, it's not when we say lachatchila and be ovad ovad, we don't really mean lachatchila and b'diyevin. What we mean is you're not allowed to go be a dayim and go and take it and trade it for something else and say that what you traded it for is mutter. But over here, when she borrows the money, the fact is the husband becomes chayev, but you're not actually directly trading over here. So therefore, we would say that it's mutter. Later on, it is kind of b'diyevin. Later on, when the husband pays back, it means that after the fact, he's paying back on behalf of what he borrowed. At the time she borrowed, there was no maisa done with the husband's nechasim, so maybe that would be different.
We learned that after the first 3 days, it really kicks in.
Fine. How long did he leave his house empty, etc. Fine. There's all that. We're not even getting into that right now. We're saying, in other words, that the Radan points out, by the way, that with the Gemara's Havam, was that it's one thing when we have for example, the father put his son under a neder that he's also to have anah from him, and we quoted before what it says in Baba Kama that the Balei Choiv are able to collect from the son. You could argue, at least because the son does have nechasim on his own, or he can buy nechasim on his own freely whenever he wants, and therefore the Balei Choiv can get paid from that. But a woman usually has no nechasim of her own. Everything she owns usually is under the control of her husband. So the Gemara thought, therefore, that it means that she's literally trading the nechasim of her husband. And the answer is that not, because the fact remains that at the time, she's not actually taking the nechasim of her husband and doing anything with them. She's borrowing money and creating a shibud, which later on is going to be paid out of the nechasim of the husband. So that wouldn't necessarily be considered chilufin. So that doesn't necessarily prove
no comparison.
So no comparison for the case when the person who was also. So again, going back to Rami Bahama's original question, when Shimon says to Reuven, these peiros are also to you, if now we were to go and trade those peiros in for something else, would Reuven still be also in what it was traded for? You can't necessarily prove it from this case of the wife, because that's different, because there's no trade being done directly with the husband's nechasim. The Gemara says, Ela Toshma. Okay, so rather let's bring a proof from a different case. Hamakadish Ba'orla. A Mishnah says in Kiddushin, if a man is Makadish a woman with fruit of Orla, ain't a Makudeshis, then she's not Makudish because Orla is also Bahana. On the other hand, Mochron, but if he sold Peiros of Orla, the Kiddush Bidmehen, and he was Makadish using money that, using the money that he got for the Orla, then Hareza Mekudeshes, then she is Mekudesh. So we see, in other words, now again, Orla is not one of the two things which is Toifis there, which is Toifis Domim. We say, L'chatchila, you're not allowed to sell Orla, but B'dievet, if you did, the money become the money is Mutter. So the question would be, at least we were discussing before the possibility that Chilufin might be also only Dirabon. Maybe we'd say gidulin of something which is also bahana would be also daraisa, because they come directly from the object that's also. But maybe chalifin would not be because it doesn't come directly from the goof of the iser. It's only a side thing. So maybe only dirabonin is an also. Well, if we were to say that dirabonin was also, then we would say that we would consider her mekudeshes, but she would still need other kiddushin. We'd say she's mekudeshes on a daraisa level, to the extent where we would say that she needs a get, but we would still say that the kiddushin on a dirabonin level are not valid, and we would need other kiddushin. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't say that, it just says flat out mekudeshes, implying that even dirabonin, the kiddushin, is fine. So that would mean that there's no gzeira derabanan on chilufin. Well, if there's no gzeira derabanan on chilufin, then applying that to our case, then we have a proof that if Shimon says these payers are also to you, then the chilufin will in fact be mota to Reuben. So the Gemara says, Hochanami, here also you could answer, Lachtchilahu deloy, the Ovad Ovad, here also you could say, it's not that he's allowed to do it, but if he didn't, he or Lachtchilah and Bidiyavad do mean pretty much the same as we do as they usually do, that he or Bidiyavad, he was Makadish, a woman with them, then the Chachamim are not going to impose a Gzeira on it and say that in that case the Chalifin are also, but and actually what it is more, the Ran points out, in this case, it's really more Khalife Khalife, because now what it is he's taking the money. He's taking the money, which he got for the Urla. And now he's using that to be Makadish a woman. And we say that the Kenyan is Chal. In effect, what he's doing is he's taking something, he's trading the money for to get married. So she herself is the Khalife Khalife. He started with Urla, then's money, and then he's sort of trading the money for her. So that would be Khalife Khalifin. So you could say that in that case, maybe that would be Mutter. So you could say the Khalifin themselves maybe are Osir, but not Khalife Khalifin. The Chachamim are not going to go and impose a Gzeira so far. So that would be why, but that wouldn't show ordinarily that Khalifin are Mutter. Yeah. Okay. So there's no answer in the end. Now, the Ran learns that ultimately, since we're saying in the sugya that Khalifin are also only Dirabanan, then the result would be, we would usually say Sufik Dirabanan Lakola. So therefore, it would mean that they're based on this, so it's only a Sufik of something Dirabanan. Therefore, we would say he would be allowed to have Anah from it. On the other hand, he says, the Rambam says that because the Gedulin and the Chilufin are Sufik, then therefore the other person is in fact also in the Gedulin and the Chilufin. So according to the Rambam, we're talking not just according to the Rambam, we are in fact Machmir in that Sufik. So how could we be Machmir if it's something Rabbanan? Maybe because we would say, the Ran doesn't explain why, but maybe because ultimately it comes, ultimately we're basing ourselves on something, on a Nedir, which is Daraisa. So maybe therefore it's considered like a suffix within something Daraisa. So the truth is, though, we've been saying before, the Rosh had brought that the question really was never on the Gedulin. The question was really, really only on the Chilufim, only when you trade it. The Rambam mentions both of them. One of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Avraham Min Ahar, in fact says there must be a mistake in the text of the Rambam. The Rambam can't possibly have said that Gedulin are a suffix. Gedulin, it seems clear from later in the Masechta, is definitely also. The question would really only be on the Chilufim. So that's the thing. So the Ran ends up saying that it can be Mako because it's only an Isu Dirabbanan, and the Rambam will hold that in fact it's the kind of suffix that we have to be Machmer in. One possibility, maybe the reason why the Rambam might be Machmer is because the Dover Shiesh Lematirin. After all, you can always be Matir Neder. So therefore, maybe we have more reason, maybe for that reason, we would have more reason to be Machmer on it. Another point is also another point that we should mention over here is that when we're saying over here, let's say, so we're saying that if a person sold fruit of Urla, let's say, and was Makadish a woman with it, then the Kedushin Achal, because B'dievet, does that apply only to Kedusha Isha? Does it apply also to other things that you might want to do with that money? So there's a Rashi elsewhere that says that only Kedusha Isha, the Chachamim aren't going to go so far as to be Mevatel the Kedushin, and therefore we'll say the Kedushin will be acceptable, but other kinds of things will be also Drabbanim. And then the Rosh asks on this and says that in fact, they would be Mutter for all purposes. So there's an explanation. There's an explanation from the Machne Ephraim that says that in fact the Machlokas Rashi and the Rosh is on the fundamental question: why are Chilufim also in the first place? Is it because when you're having Hanah from them, in effect you're having Hanah from the actual Issur itself because you traded it for this thing, so now it's considered having Hanah from the actual Issur? Well, then the Chalife Chalifin should also be Osir, and only in the case of Kedushin will we make an exception because we don't want to interfere with Kedushin. Whereas the Rosh will hold the whole thing is only because of a Knas. So therefore, Khalife Khalifin, since there's no issue to trade that money for something else, then therefore that should be Mutter. Okay.
What's that, everyone?